You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
Lord, we love you. God, I wonder how many of us in here would truly say, I wonder if I could even truly say that nothing else matters to me except for you. God, when we think of that, Lord, our finances don't matter. God, in a sense, our relationships don't matter. Nothing else matters but you, because if we're not right with you, then nothing else is going to be right in our life. So God, we praise you. We thank you so much for the worship this morning. God, I thank you for the team that you've placed here. God, not just to sing songs, but to lead us into a position of worship. God, preparing us for the preaching of the word. So God, thank you for them, Lord. I pray for our pastor, Lord, as he's at home not feeling well. God, we pray that you heal him, Lord, that you protect his family. God, we are so thankful for the man that you have brought here and his family that you've had here for many years. And God, we just pray that you be with him during this time and his family. God, and we pray for us here this morning. God, if there's anyone that is lost, Lord, I pray and I beg and I plead that you save them through the power of your Spirit. God, show them the empty cross and the empty tomb this morning and the resurrected Savior that is seated at the right hand of the Father. God, show them who Jesus is. Show them what their sin has done, but show them how they can be forgiven from that sin this morning. Lord, I pray that you revive those that are saved. And Lord, there will be no revival of the saints until there is repentance of the saints. And God, we can only repent and turn from our ways and ask for forgiveness because you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I pray that this message isn't just for the folks in the congregation, that you speak to my heart as well. Lord, that you will just move in this place in such a way that when we leave here, we will leave knowing that we've been in the presence of Almighty God. God, I pray that time slows down during this service, Lord, that we won't be distracted by anything else. God, do what only you can do this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. So last night at about 5:22, headed towards Ringgold, got a phone call from a person that's in our youth of our church. His name's Ed. His wife's name's Billy Smith. Some of you may know him. He's not really in our youth. They're in their 90s, right? But they act like youth. I was supposed to be preaching for Brother Ed this morning in Doline, and he called me last night, and he said, Brother Luke, if you've never had the opportunity to talk to Ed Smith, you know he has just a very noticeable voice. But anyways, he said, Brother Luke, we're going to have to just cancel service for tomorrow because we have so many people that are sick. Sorry to do this to you at the last minute. And I said, man, that's fine. I completely understand. Got home last night, and at 3:30 this morning, I was awake in my recliner praying, and I told the Lord, I said, God, I would really love an opportunity to preach, but I understand if you want me to be home this Sunday. So whatever you have for me, Lord, I'm ready. And at 4:22 this morning, I get a pastor, or not a pastor, right? I've been awake since 3:30. Give me a break, right? I get a text message from Gavin at 4:22 asking me if I'd be preaching anywhere. I said, you ain't going to believe this. Nope, I'll be off. He said, man, we could sure use you. And so I'm so thankful for a pastor that not only preaches and teaches and loves the way that he loves our not just our church, but our community and outside of our community, but I'm so thankful for the way that he allows me the opportunity to come here and preach to you. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly that I'm standing here preaching to First Baptist Halton this morning. So I'm just thankful, and I do ask that you continue to keep praying for Gavin and Andrea. Well, we pray for Andrea always because she's married to Gavin, right? That's why people pray for Olivia, because she's married to me, right? I mean, she's just a saint of a woman. So now that we're done with the awkward introduction, if you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Jude. While you're turning there, I just want to tell you this before I forget to do it at the end of the service. There's so many people here in this church, and this church included, that support Give Them Jesus, which is a ministry that God allowed us to start in 2016. I was homeless, living in my truck, giving away Bibles. God had saved my soul, and we started an organization called Give Them Jesus that exists to reach people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ by giving out Bibles and preaching the gospel and just loving on people. And so in 2021, this past year, because of people like you in this church and because of other churches like this church, Give Them Jesus was able to give away over $50,000 worth in Bibles. And I say all that to say thank you, but also if you're here and you need a Bible, you see me after this service and give me your name and an address, and we will send a Bible to you. We make it personal because we believe it's God's personal word to his personal creation, and he wants a personal relationship with you. I know that's a lot of personals, but if you have a complaint about that, just see my wife after the service, right? Anyways, thank you for laughing, Chad. Been up since 3:30. Y'all got to give me a break. You better laugh with me or we're going to be here for a minute. Book of Jude. It's very short. It's 25 verses in the book of Jude or the letter of Jude. It's one of those books of the Bible that is often forgotten. It's one of those scriptures that's often not really preached on, and it's just, we don't really allow it to make the impact on our life here in 2022, or in the impact of our life since we've been followers of Christ, as this letter would have had in the church when they first read it. What has happened to us today in America, we have almost become institutionalized almost in the way that we do church. We've grown up in church and we've heard the sermons, we've heard the scriptures, and we go through the motions and we hear about Jesus on the cross, and instead of allowing his sacrifice on the cross to break us and to change us and to shape us and to show us what Jesus did for us, we hear about his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection, and instead of being blown away by that, we just think, well, I've heard that before, right? We've almost gotten hardened to the scripture. We've almost allowed our heart just to kind of become numb to the fact that when we open the Bible, we're not open a book written by somebody like Charles Dickens or even J.K. Holden, if you will. Like, we're not opening the Bible reading just a normal book. This is God's holy word. This was inspired and breathed by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God that we get to have, that we get to hold, that we get to read. And so what I'm telling you is, if you're at a point in your life to where scripture has become boring, or to where scripture has just become a mundane thing where you're just going through the motions, friends, you're not in a good place. And you're not in a good standing. You are in a position that you need to repent and fall back in love with your first love and see scripture as what it is. The book of Jude, we believe a lot of scholars, not saying I'm a scholar, but I've read a lot of people that are scholars, believe that this was written by Jesus's half-brother, Jude. And in Jude, verse 4, Jude writes this. He says, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out of this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentious and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ." In reading this, there's a lot of different ways you can go with the scripture to stay true with the text. You can look at the people that he's writing about. You can look at all these things. But that word crept really just, it jumped out at me when I was reading this and getting ready for this sermon, because Jude writes to a church that at one point had been sold out for Jesus. But what happens to churches, and it still happens today, is we are full of sinful people. And because we're full of sinful people, sin creeps in, and it comes in ways sometimes that we don't even see, and we get so lazy, we get so kind of numb, if you will, that we forget what our position is to Jesus. We forget what God has provided us. We forget what we are to protect. And when we forget all of these things, then we are no longer paying attention. We are no longer looking at what's going on. And things creep into our life that are not for our good, that are to kill, steal, and destroy. Jude writing to a church that is in trouble. And I love First Baptist Halton, but it is not exempt from one day becoming trouble. Because we are full of people, and if we're not careful, things can creep into this congregation like it can creep into any congregation in the world, and it can creep into our lives. Jude starts this letter off by writing, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James." Jude never forgot his position to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be honest. My wife's sitting in the balcony. She can attest to this because she knows me better than everybody in this room, right? I still have some struggles in my life, and one of those is pride. One of those is my anger. I was talking about that with somebody out in the foyer, and God continues to work on me. Praise God that he continues to work on his followers, that he just doesn't leave us like we are. It's not that we get more Jesus as we continue in this life. It's that Jesus gets more of us. And so I still have a lot of pride in my life, and if I was Jude writing to a church and Jesus was my half-brother, oh, I'd be posting that in big letters, right? It would be me, Jude. By the way, Jesus is my half-brother, like my mama, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one, that's Mary, that's who I, you know, that's what I represent, but not Jude. See, he remembered his position. He said, I am Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. You translate that into the Greek, it literally means Jude, a slave to Jesus Christ. The reason that we've allowed things to creep into our lives, into our families, into our churches, is because instead of realizing that Jesus is our Lord, that Jesus is our Savior, that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, instead of remembering those things, we have forgotten what our position is to Jesus. We are not his equals. We are not the same as Jesus. Jesus, can I just tell you this? He's not your homeboy. He's a friend to sinners. Yes, he is, but most of all, he is Lord of all. See, Jude, when he says, I'm a bondservant to Jesus Christ, there's three things that that word bondservant can be translated and show what a bondservant does. A slave, a bondservant to Jesus Christ is someone who is completely obedient to that of the Lord. We've lost our obedience to Jesus here in America today. When it comes to serving the Lord, instead of being willing to do whatever God asks us to do, we're willing to do whatever he asks as long as it kind of looks like we want it to look, as long as it's comfortable, as long as we don't have to do something that we don't want to do, as long as nobody's gonna hurt us, as long as we don't hurt anybody's feelings. We're no longer obedient to the Lord. We've allowed other things to have our obedience. There's many of us that are more obedient to our hobbies than we are to that of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's many of us that are more obedient to our kids' travel ball than we are to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. God no longer has our obedience because God no longer has our attention because we've grown so numb and so lazy, if you will, to what God has for us. And therefore, we have forgotten our position when it comes to Jesus. He does not owe us anything. I don't know if you know that or not. He doesn't owe us salvation. There's nothing that anybody in this room has done to earn or even deserve the salvation of Jesus Christ. He doesn't owe us that. But praise God that God looked on this world and saw the state of this world, and he didn't look down and pour his wrath out on us. He looked at us and he said, they need a Savior. They need Jesus. They need my son. And he sent Jesus in the form of a little baby born in a manger. By the way, Jesus did not have to be born in a manger of a virgin. Jesus could have came once and for all as king, but he had to come this way so that he could die a sinner's death and pay the price for the sins, so that we would surrender our lives and repent of our sins and become bondservants, slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and give him our full obedience. We're more obedient to our jobs than we are to our Lord. We're more obedient to things we want to do than what God has for us. See, a true bondservant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, is one who is obedient to the master, but also one who shows humility. Can I just tell you this in a loving way? And by the way, when I preach to congregations, like, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to myself. You just happen to be sitting in the same room when I'm preaching. But we have forgotten that our humility, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, the Bible says that God will raise us up in honor. There is nothing you can do in your life apart from the Lord. You know what I do really well? I'll just go ahead and tell you, I mess up really well. I fall into temptation really well. I sin, I become a part of the flesh comes out of me when I forget that my humility has to be in line with the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that apart from him, I can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. See, here's something that we have forgotten. We have forgotten our position when it comes to that of Jesus Christ. We are not his equals. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. We are under him. He is our master. He is our Savior, and we are to serve him in obedience. We are to serve him in humility, and he is to have our complete loyalty. Loyalty is so much more than just a Sunday morning service. Loyalty is so much more than just a Bible study throughout the week. Loyalty to the Lord is so much more than just 24 hours out of a week. Loyalty is your everything. We sang that song, I Just Want You, and nothing else. Nothing else will do. That is a lie for most of us to sing because we continue to look for satisfaction and give our loyalty to other things that have no eternal value. And if that's your heart today and you sang that song, you sang it as a lie. See, those that are bondservants are completely obedient. Their humility lies in that of the master. And they are loyal to one and only. See, the reason that we allow things to creep into our life and to creep into the church and to creep into our families is because our obedience is not with the Lord. Our humility, we think we're equals instead of realizing that we're under Jesus and that we serve him above all, that we deny ourselves daily, pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And our loyalty is not truly to the Lord. We've forgotten our position. We've also forgotten this. Look, in Jude verses 1, the second part of verses 1, right? I'm ADD multiplied by 35 pi squared. I don't know if y'all know that or not. It's a spiritual gift that I have. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, sort of. But in Jude 1, at the second part of that, it says to those, this is the Trinity. Jude shows us the Trinity. He shows us God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. In this one verse, he says to those who are the called. John chapter 6, verse 44 says that no one comes to the Father unless first drawn by the Spirit. There's not a single person in this room today that was saved by something that you did. There's not a single person in heaven for all of eternity because of the salvation that they brought upon themselves. There's not a single person that is saved because their mom or their dad was a follower of Christ. You're not a follower of Christ because you are a member of First Baptist Houghton. Listen, the Bible says to those who are the called. But can I just tell you this about the called? If there's anybody that should be left out of God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's mercy and not be a part of the called, you're looking at him. If there's anybody that was unworthy of salvation, if there's anybody that was so far gone that everybody counted out, then you're looking at him. See, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," paid in full, when he breathed his last breath and surrendered his spirit, when he laid his life down for the sins of the world, it opened up the opportunity for salvation for the whole world, for the sinners, for the so-called righteous people. There is no one righteous, no, not one. Listen to me. When I tell you this, you don't know a single person alive today that is not part of the called that cannot be saved by God's salvation in Jesus Christ. That means there's not a single one of you in here today that cannot be saved by Jesus Christ. If you were left out of the cross, your name would be in the Gospels. The called, the beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for this. That word called and translated into the Greek, don't ask me how to say it, but I can tell you what three parts of it mean, right? I'm not a very educated man, but I can read books, praise the Lord, right? So the called is summoning persons to three different things. Listen to this. The called are those that are summoned to office. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that when we become new creations in Christ, we are ambassadors for the Lord. Do you realize that your salvation, like when God saved your soul, when he gave you a new life, in Ezekiel it talks about giving a new heart, taking the heart of stone out and putting in a new heart. When everything passed away and the old died and the new became living, when God did that for you, he did not just save you just so that you would be on the membership roll of a church. God did not save you just so that you would sit in a pew on Sunday morning. See, you are called to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. God has called you to be an ambassador. What does that mean? It means that you represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. You are what people look at when they're looking for what Jesus looks like. You represent Jesus if you're a follower of Christ, because you're a part of the called, because you've been called to office, because you represent Jesus. As people that have been summoned to a feast, as people that have been summoned even to experience judgment. See, church, what happens is we forget our position, and we forget that we are a bondservant to Jesus. We forget that we've been called by the Spirit, that we've been beloved by God the Father, and that we've been kept. I'm so thankful for that kept word. I'm so thankful that there is nothing that I can do to separate me from the love of God that is my Lord in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful for Romans 8, 38 through 39. I'm so thankful for Romans 8, 1, where there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Like, I'm so thankful that I am kept not by my own doing, not by my life, but by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you could mess up enough to lose your salvation, boy, I messed up enough this morning before I got here. I'm so thankful that nothing I have done for salvation is of my own doing, because if it was, then it wouldn't be eternal. See, church, what happens, and the reason that we've allowed things to creep in our lives that are there to destroy everything, that are there for their own, is because we've forgotten our position to the Lord. Jude also writes in verse 2, he says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. We have not only forgotten the position, we've forgotten what God has provided for us. If I was to ask you about your salvation, I'm not asking about your date, because nowhere you won't find in Scripture, I've heard some people try to use it as a scare tactic, that if you don't know the exact date that you were saved, then you're not saved. The Apostle Paul never writes about the exact date that he was saved, but he does talk about what happened the day of his salvation. I'm not asking if you can remember the exact date. I'm asking about the day that the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul. How often do you think of that day? How often do you think about what happened in order for that salvation? How often do you think of the bloody cross and the borrowed tomb? And then how often do you think of the 3 days after that, when the tomb was empty and the Lord Jesus had resurrected back to life? How often do you think about what God has provided for you through Jesus Christ? How often do you think about the mercy that God has given you? Because there's not a soul in here, myself included, that deserves God's mercy. We deserve his wrath. But God saw fit not to pour his wrath out on us, but to pour it out on his Son, Jesus Christ, so that he can show us mercy. God didn't provide us mercy just to live and forget about those things. God provided us mercy so that we would walk in a new life, so that we would seek the Lord first above all else, so that we would trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. God didn't provide these things for us just to leave us here and not do anything with that. Praise the Lord that you're here on Sunday, but are you representing Jesus Monday through Saturday? Praise the Lord that you own a Bible, but are you allowing that Bible to change you from the inside out? Are you meditating on it day and night, or just trying to read through it as fast as you can to say that you've read it from cover to cover? Praise God if you've done that, but I'm afraid we miss so much just trying to read through the Bible in a hurry. We start singing that song, I'm in a hurry to get things done, right? Okay, nobody? Well, I quit. No, I'm just kidding. But we get in such a hurry and we miss so much that God has for us. See, God provided us mercy. God provided us peace. The Bible says that the peace of God surpasses all that is understanding. See, we've had a really rough year. And if you think about it, your entire life has had a lot of rough patches in it. There's a lot of preachers that have used the analogy of the headstone. There's two dates. There's your birth and there's your death, which you enter into eternity after your death. You either walk into eternity with Jesus because you've surrendered your life, you've repented of your sins, and you're walking in that salvation, or you reject the Lord Jesus here on this earth and you spend eternity separated from God forever in a place called hell. And so there's your birth date and your death date, and then there's that little dash in between there. And there's so much that can happen in that little dash. There's unexpected death that comes out of nowhere. There's a pandemic that nobody could have seen coming. There's normal, everyday things. You and your spouse get into an argument. Your kids drive you crazy, or you send your kids to your parents' house, and because grandparents are really good at this, they send your kids back to your house even crazier, and therefore you're mad at your parents now, right? Like, so many things happen, and if we're not careful, we'll be focused on the situation more than we're focused on our Savior, and when we're focused on the situation more than our Savior, there will be no peace, and you won't understand why. See, God gave us peace that surpasses all understanding so that we could walk through the fire of life and not be burned, so that we could walk through the storms and the winds and the waves crashing down around us and not be afraid and not be shaken, because we know by faith that the winds and the waves have to obey the one that we serve. See, the peace that God has given us surpasses all understanding, which in my mind means that I can't preach this in a way for us to truly understand, but we have to live it in a way in order for us to understand it. See, we've forgotten that God's provided us with mercy. We've forgotten that God's provided us with peace. And we start looking for things to fill that void that will never bring us peace. Hey, can I tell you this? There's not another woman that's going to bring you peace outside of your marriage. There's not another man that's going to bring you peace outside of your marriage. We go looking for things that would satisfy the corruption that's going on, when God says, what God has brought together, let no man separate. You, if you and your spouse are at each other's throats and you're fighting and everything's going on, the peace of God surpasses all that is understanding, but there will be no peace if you go looking for it outside of your marriage. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your wife, fight for your husband. God didn't give you a spouse just so that you would not fight for them. Our peace sometimes gets so distracted and so muddied up because we're focused on what's happening in the world. Hey, can I just tell you this? One of the greatest things that we can do for the world and the things that are happening is we can repent of our own sin, get right back with God, spend time on our knees in prayer, fasting and asking God to do what only He can do. See, the peace that God's trying to give to this world, He has already given to His followers. We carry this for a reason, not to forget it and allow things to creep in, but to remember it so that we can show the world that even when things are falling apart, even when things are crumbling, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You prepare a place for me in the presence of my enemies. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, the God that we serve gave us peace and mercy to make it through our everyday life. We can't forget that. We can't forget that God provided us with love. That word love, that agape word, that unconditional love. The love of God is richer than anything you'll ever experience. I was never able to truly love anybody until I understood what love meant from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way I could love my wife the way that I do if I did not have a relationship with Jesus. There's no way I could love you if I didn't have the relationship with Jesus that I have. See, we have forgotten that God has provided us His mercy, His peace, and His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's no greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. God demonstrates His love for us that while we were yet still sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. See, God has provided us with His love, not so that we would just hold on to it and put it in a safe and not do anything with it, so that we would share it with the world. But see, we've allowed hatred, we've allowed evil thoughts, we've allowed condemnation to creep inside of us because we have forgotten the love that God has provided. Can I just tell you this, that in 2021, that was me? January of 2021, woke up, had, 2020, I didn't really do that much preaching, especially to congregations. I preached to a lot of empty churches. Praise the Lord that when y'all found out I was here, you didn't take off running, right? That would have really helped with my whatever. But 2020 happened, 2021 came in. I was ready to rock and roll, ready to preach, ready to do these things. And I had forgotten my position to Jesus. Instead of realizing that God saved my soul and that I was his bondservant, that I was his slave, that I was to be obedient to him, that my humility belonged to him, that my loyalty belonged to him, I had forgotten those things and started to get a real hard heart towards a lot of people. Started to have a real condemning way in the way that I preached. In the way that I ministered to people that have the same past that I have, in the way that I ministered to people that look like me, because if I'm not wearing blue jeans and a jacket, there's no way you will think that I'm a preacher if you don't know me. That's just the way that I roll. And so people that look like me, people that acted like me, I was so hardened towards them because I had forgotten my position to Jesus. If you know, in 2021, we started the year off with Gavin preparing us for 21 days of focus. March 1st through March 21st, he asked us as a church to come together as a corporate body of Christ and to focus on the Lord, to read through the New Testament in 21 days. I'll be honest, I didn't make that because I couldn't stay focused long enough to make that. But anyways, right? And so for those 21 days, I just spent time with the Lord, and God broke me during those 21 days. Made me realize that I had forgotten that he provided me mercy. Not so that I would hoard onto it, not because I deserved it, not because I'd earned it, not because I'm a preacher, not because I run a ministry called Give Him Jesus. God gave me his mercy freely. I'd forgotten the peace that surpassed all understanding. I had forgotten the love of God, and I wasn't showing it to anybody in the way that I lived. And there was hardened heart creeping in. There was hatred creeping in. And God had to break me to put me in the position that I'm in today. And I believe today in a room this size that there are a lot of people, if you're honest, and I pray that you are, because if you're lying to anybody, you're lying to yourself, because the Bible says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. What a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow that of the flesh, you will receive that of the flesh. If you sow that of the Spirit, you will receive that of the Spirit. If we're honest in this place today, there's a lot of us that have forgotten our position to Jesus. We've placed things over our relationship with Jesus. And we have that thought, well, you know what? Our kids are young. We want them to have chances that we didn't get to have. We want them to do things that we didn't get to do. Listen, if God gave you a child, he did not give you the child so that you could teach him how to swing a bat, kick a ball, throw a ball, shoot a ball. God gave you a child so that you would raise them up in the way of the Lord, so that you would disciple them, so that you would show them what it meant to walk by faith, not by sight, so that you would show them what it meant to seek first the kingdom of God. It's not your youth pastor's job to disciple your kids. It's your job to disciple your kids. See, when we forget our position to the Lord, we put things above our relationship with the Lord. There's a lot of us in here today that have forgotten what God's provided for us. And therefore, we don't realize that God left us here to show this world the love of God. That God left us here to show this world what it means to have peace that surpasses all understanding. That God left us here on this earth because he's not finished with you yet. Because he still has a plan for your life. Because he still has a purpose for your life. Because he still wants to use you. You know that the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for those that love him. You have a messed up family, then you need to bring Jesus into that family more than you need to bring anything else. You got some messed up kids. My mama prayed relentlessly for me and my sister, and my sister's 8 years sober. I'm 7 years sober. You pray without ceasing. You believe by faith. You bring other people into the situation that will lock arms with you, that will pray with you, that will fight with you, but you need not forget what God's provided for you, because then things start to creep in that are there to kill, steal, and destroy. We forget our position. We forget what God provided. Man, I'm preaching a Gavin Spinney length sermon, right? And then we forget what we're to protect. Oftentimes, this is called apologetics. I believe it's either in 1st or 2nd Peter chapter 3, somewhere in there. Peter talks about always giving a reason when asked for your faith and defending the faith, apologetics. See, what has happened today as followers of Christ, when we forget our position and we forget what God's provided for us, we forget that God left us here with a mission. And that mission, although sometimes it feels like it, that mission does not, it's not empty, right? We're out planting seeds. We're telling people about Jesus. And we get so wrapped up in that thought, man, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Hey, can I just tell you this? If God leads you to say something and you say it in love and you say it and you show the mercy and the grace and the love of God and you show it in such a conditional way that is true to the Spirit and they don't receive it well, it's not up to you how they receive what you say. It's up to you to say what the Spirit of the God leads you to say and leads you to do. See, God left us here to protect the faith, to defend the faith. That's why Jude writes, he says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints." He said, I was gonna write about salvation. And I'll be honest with you, preaching a salvation message is oftentimes much easier than this one I'm preaching today. But what had happened, just like what's happened today, is things had started to creep into the church. And when things start to creep into the church, it begins to rip it from the inside out. And if we're not careful, First Baptist Halton, that will happen here because that can happen anywhere. We're not exempt from that because of what's going on. But God left us here to protect and to contend and to fight for the faith, to tell people about Jesus, to know what it means to truly love God, to know what it means to truly walk in forgiveness, to know what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. See, we have forgotten that God left us here to protect the faith and defend the faith in a loving way. We think it's somebody else's job, or we think that we're not qualified, or we think that we're not good enough to do it. Can I tell you this? I'm not qualified to do what I do. I'm definitely not good enough to do the things that I do. But God saw fit to save my soul, not to become a preacher, not to run a ministry called Give Them Jesus, but so that I can truly look to the heavens and know that God is my God and that He is my Father and that the Lord Jesus is my Lord and that the Holy Spirit is my Comforter and that there is no one greater in this world like the one that is inside me. Therefore, He is greater in you than he that is in the world, and through Him we are overcomers. And church, what happens, we forget to protect the faith. We forget to tell people about Jesus. We forget to show the love of God. We forget to tell people the mercy of God. We forget to represent Jesus. And what happens, instead of people coming to know Jesus, people turn and run because they say, why would I want Jesus if that's how a Christian acts? Why would I want Jesus if the Jesus makes people mean? Why would I want Jesus if Jesus makes people condemning? Why would I want Jesus if Jesus makes people racist? Why would I want Jesus if Jesus makes people hateful? And if we're not careful, that's exactly the way we'll be. If we don't remember our position, remember what God provided us with, and remember to defend the faith, not just in the world, but in our own lives as well. March 1st to March 21st, God wrecked my soul. I was on the phone with a guy, some of you may know him. His name's Chad Wise. Interesting fella, right? And this was shortly after the 21 days of focus, and he said, well, Luke, tell me what God worked with you on. Tell me what happened. And I said, Chad, God pointed out that I was just real condemning, that I was just real hateful, that I wasn't showing people the mercy of God, that I wasn't exemplifying the peace of God, that I wasn't loving people. And I said, and Chad, I just had to repent, and I had to fall back into the loving arms of Jesus, who, although I had begun to walk in a completely different way, Jesus had never left my side. And when I told Chad Wise that, he said, you have no idea how good it is to hear you say that. I said, you need to explain a little bit more. He said, since January, I've been wanting to talk to you about the way that you've been preaching and about the way that you've been acting around people and about the way that you're no longer loving people and the way that you're condemning people. He said, I've been wanting to talk to you since January. And I'm so thankful that God did that in your life and that you repented. Church, I repented of that. I no longer forgot my position. I remember my position, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, that I am His servant. I am His slave. My obedience is to Him. I'm humble under the Lord. My loyalty is to Him. I've no longer forgotten what God provided me. I remember what God's provided me. He's provided me mercy and peace and love. He's provided me those things not so that I would hoard on to them, but so that I would represent Jesus in this world and tell people that Jesus is the only way, He is the only truth, and He is the only life. And I'm here today to defend the faith faith and to tell you that there's no other way, that there's no God like Jehovah, that there's no one who loves you more, there's no one who can do more with you, there's no one who can forgive you, there's no one who can save you, there's no one who can change you, there is no one who can do for you what Jesus Christ can do for you. Won't you trust him with your life? In a moment, the band's going to come up here and our ministers will be down front. I invite you in this moment not to pray, listen to me, not to pray for revival, but to pray for repenting souls so that we will see revival. I invite you this morning, if you've drifted away from your love of God, if you've drifted away and you begin to forget things, I invite you to come back to Jesus and to repent of those things, because the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. I invite you to get real with God and stop playing games with the one who knows all, with the one who sees all, with the one who can use you to do exceedingly and abundantly that which of you ask and that which you even think. I invite you and beg with you and plead with you to come to Jesus, to come back to Jesus, and to just begin to live for Jesus in this world. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for this morning. God, I pray that you move in the hearts of your people, that you stir the hearts of those that need to come to you. God, that they'll cry out. Lord, that they'll confess their sins. God, that they'll just get real. Lord, asking you to forgive them, asking you to cleanse them. Lord, asking you to save their soul. God, I pray for the marriages that are struggling. I pray that the men of the house will become men of God and lead their families in a way towards the Lord. God, I pray for the families that are dealing with prodigals. Lord, that they will return back home, that the mamas and the daddies won't stop praying for their sons or their daughters. God, I pray that we'll remember who you are, remember who we are in you. God, move in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.